Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
Hello, guys. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. That is very kind of you. That was a very warm welcome. Well, hello, everybody. How are we feeling tonight? Good, good, good. Very good. All right, before I start, I just want to announce that I do have chocolates up here. And I will be asking questions and asking you to participate. And if you do, you get a chocolate. Pretty simple, and it's Kit Kats, so the best chocolate out there. No one can argue with that. My answer is correct. Just thought I'd say that. Anyway, so a little bit about me. If you don't know, my name is Daniel, as Maddie said. I'm 23 years old, young. I work in a motorcycle shop. And I love my motorcycles and my cars and everything. A bit of a petrol head. It's really good fun. I also play basketball, which is actually how I got this knee brace. So that was fun in mixed. Not even my good team, in my mixed team. For everyone out there. Yeah, Daniela's not happy. She's in the team, but that's the reason. It's not that. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah, today I just thought, I think we'll get right into it. But I think for today, I've got a slide for the title of my message, which is The Mountain in Front of You. Now, if anyone knows what that mountain is, it is from an amazing franchise of movies, Top Tier. And it's a pretty actually serious mountain. If you've ever watched the movies, you know climbing it does suck. So the reason I've titled my message this today is by the mountains, I'm going to be talking about our battles and our challenges that we face in life. And the times where you feel far from God and that you're not close to Him and that you are just battling through life and it's not really enjoyable or you're having a real big struggle. But for my first point, it is that we will face mountains. And that's not super encouraging. That's actually pretty harsh. And when I was writing this, I was like, oh, God, is there something nicer I can say? But no, he said no. So on that point, we are going to pray. So if you can bow your heads and close your eyes, I'll pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the blessing it is that we can be here in your presence, Lord, and come to youth. And you've blessed us with this amazing property where we can just be ourselves with you, Lord. I just pray that my words are your words, Lord, and that you lead me where you want me to go, Lord. You just touch the youth's hearts tonight as you do every week. So in your precious name we pray. Amen. Not play, pray. All right. Actually, before we start, I do just want to acknowledge, talk a little bit about the rally. So some of us were at the rally, right? It was pretty sweet. Yeah. But some of us weren't, and that's okay. But I just want to say that the message tonight is for everyone, even if you're feeling far from God right now or you're at your peak of your faith, as you might think, that this message will be for everyone because we will all end up facing mountains. So even if you're right back into your schedule of you know Christianity, as we all have a bit of a schedule, and you're at the rally and you're all hyped, or you weren't and you've had a few weeks off, that's all right, that's fine. God's here now and God's with you now, so let's get right into it. So we will face mountains, first point if you're taking notes. Now, becoming Christian does not make life easy breezy. It continues to be as hard. Life doesn't change, but your personal life does. But in fact, sometimes being a Christian, it also means that you can also face more mountains and sometimes more difficult mountains. Because as the word makes it very clear, we will be persecuted as Christians and we will face those extra challenges that some people, you know, that non-Christians don't. So we'll be persecuted for our faith, but then on top of that, we also have the worldly challenges. And for the first verse, I've got Matthew 5, verse 10 to 12. And I got it up on the screen for everyone if you want to read. I'm going to read it up there too because the font's too small here sometimes. And it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the next verse I'm going to point out is 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, where it says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted." Now, they are some pretty harsh verses. if I do say so myself. When I read them, I was like, dang, that's pretty hardcore. But it is true. If we do want to live a godly life and we do want to really pursue God, we will be persecuted. Now, persecution in the Bible and in certain other countries is a bit different to us here. We're not persecuted for, you know, we don't get killed for believing our faith, or we're not ridiculed, we don't have to hide. But we do have to face our own persecutions. I mean, you can be persecuted at school, you can be like kicked out of your friendship group because you're a Christian. You can't do certain things in life because you're a Christian, you can't act a certain way. All these things are persecutions, and they are challenges that we do have to face. But the thing I love about picturing our persecutions and our battles and these really difficult times, it's just, I think mountains are such a good representation of this. Because mountains, yes, they are super steep and hard to climb, especially Mordor, super gnarly cliffs, rocks, weird creatures, yuck. But there is always a peak. A mountain always has a top. It's never just always a mountain. There's always a top. And when you get to the top, there is always a downhill, right? And who loves downhills? I love downhill. Like, where's my brother Johnny and his mate Archer? They love their downhill push bike racing. Like, pretty gnarly stuff. And it's fast, it's fun, but the uphill can suck. You know, when you ride a push bike, you're riding uphill, you just think, dude, this is crap. But that's all right, because there's a downhill coming on the way. Now, some of you know that I'm a dirt bike rider. I do love it. I'm a huge fan. I spend pretty much all my money on it, as my girlfriend hates. But that is okay. That is just a burden she has to bear. and just part of being with me, which is a blessing for her, obviously. which is... Thank you. But also a blessing for me. But anyway, we won't go too deep into that. But sometimes with riding dirt bikes, well, not sometimes, like a lot of riding dirt bikes, there is always an uphill. And sometimes with a dirt bike, so it's, as a bit of a reference, a dirt bike can weigh about, you know, 300 to 500 kilos. Like, they can be pretty heavy. And riding them uphill can sometimes be easy, but it sometimes sucks when you're riding up an uphill and there's a log in the middle of the track. And then you either have to figure out how to get over that, or you stop and you crash. And then you have to pick your bike up, and it's such a drag. And sometimes I really do think to myself, what sport have I chosen? Like, I could have done chess or something easy and boring, you know, for all you chess people out there. But I do. But sometimes even your hobbies and your life can feel like a drag. And I've got a bit of a video to show of just a bit of like a physical outworking of that. And you can't laugh at me. This is me being humble. So if we've got a video, will that play? Oh, here we go. Yes, and that video goes on for a little bit longer. I got quite stuck at that point. That was years ago when I was really way worse at riding than I am now. But yeah, sometimes life can feel like that. Sometimes life just feels like you're just always getting up and picking yourself up, and you're always falling back down, and you slap your handlebars just out of anger because you're like, oh, this sucks. And the worst bit about that is that everyone I was riding with was at the top. And I could see them. It was my dad, Mitch, and a few of my other mates. And that was the worst part, because my dad beat me, and he's old. It was rubbish. But sometimes that's just how it is, and life can feel like that. But with this, with that, and with that hill, I knew that when I got to the top, there would be a really fun bit of downhill I could ride. I could hit those big jumps, I could fly, I could get really fast, I could go around corners quick, I could ride atop of the top of the ridge next to the nice view and just think, this is awesome, I didn't just suck at that hill back there. Like, and you feel accomplished, you feel like you've done something. And that's the same with life. Like, yeah, hills can suck and mountains and battles are an issue, but once you've gotten through them, you feel accomplished. You're like, hey, I've done that. you know, that's in my past. Yeah, I've done that. It was easy. You know, well, not easy sometimes, but, you know, you tell it to yourself because it makes yourself feel better. So that brings me to my next point. And my next point is, are you having a crack? And that's the point I wanted to make, because I just wanted to make it obvious that you do have to have a crack. And are you actually having a crack, or are you getting halfway and giving up, or are you just sitting down the bottom and just going, nah, this is way too hard. I can't do this. But are you actually getting up, and are you actually hitting that mountain head on? Are you going to say, nah, I'm going to do this. The Lord's with me. Let's go. And it's important when we are climbing those mountains and facing those battles that we have a trust in God, that He hasn't set something too challenging for us, and that He is also with us, and that this mountain is in front of us for a reason. Now, who's got their Bibles here too? I want to raise a hands. Raise a hands. Great. There's a lot of you. That's sweet. That's so good. Which leaders don't have their Bibles? I want to make this public. Yeah, I think it's Nico. Yeah, Nico doesn't have it, but Judah has Nico's Bible, so that means Nico doesn't have a Bible. That's tough. All right, but I need a volunteer, and we're going to have a bit of a race here, because I like races. Races are fun. So everyone's Bibles have to be closed, and when I count down, I want the first person to find the verse I'm going to read out to stand up and throw their Bible in the air like this. So, like, hold it and be like, I've got it. All right, and you get a chocolate if you win, so this is pretty sweet. So the verse is, are you guys ready? Isaiah 48, verse 10. Oh, there's a very small boy in the back who got it. Very short, with four eyes. Anyone else? Anyone? Any youth? Any youth? Yes, we've got one down here. Come on up. You're reading it. You're reading it. All right, come up. You ready? Take the microphone.
I didn't even find it.
You didn't find it? Oh, that's embarrassing. Look, you're all the way up here and you didn't find it? Oh, so have you got it here?
Potentially.
If you got it there, you can read it.
I don't know what one it is.
It's Isaiah 48, verse 10. Have you got it? You have to go back a bit. Yeah, so he doesn't have it, guys. Have you got it? You're not getting a chocolate, but you have to read it now. Oh, he's gone down. All right, yep, you got it. Come on. Come on up. 48, verse 10. The microphone is yours.
Look, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction.
Perfect. Thank you very much. That was great. Grab a chocolate, please. Now, have we got that slide up for that second point? Oh, we do. Lovely. How good's that? Now, I'm going to read that again because I do really love that verse. It says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Now, this is talking about how the mountains we face are actually mountains we face for a reason. It's not just we have to do it because it's like a weird side quest, but it is our main trajectory. We have to take these, and this is what God puts in front of us. Another verse is Psalm 66, verse 10 to 12, and it says, for you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into the prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. Now, the first part of that verse is pretty hardcore. It's pretty much just saying God is just letting us cop all of that, and that sounds pretty miserable. But at the end, it says, and I was going to read it again because I love this, it says, but you brought us to a place of abundance. And I love how, yes, we still have to go through these trials and we still have to go through these hard times, but the Lord will always bring us to a point where we are closer to Him and we are a better Christian because of it. And that is a really cool thing that the Lord does. And for this to happen, though, it is important that we trust God's plan. We have to listen and obey. Or are we ignoring Him and rebuking Him? Now, there's a pretty full-on chapter in Mark that I want to read as well. I might actually get one of the youth to do this. So can we do that race again? Because this is a bit of a long one. So it is Mark 8, verse 32. Who's got it? That was fast. Who was that? Wow. Come on. That was really fast. That's actually impressive. It's a sick name. It's probably the name, honestly. It's definitely the name. The name made him so good. So if you could come up tonight, that would be super helpful. There we go. Okay, and we're going to read from 32 to 33 in a big loud voice.
31?
Yeah, 31. It's different on my notes.
Cool. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 to 33. He then...
Sorry.
He... Thanks, guys. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer.
This isn't a very funny passage. This is a pretty full-on passage.
He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns."
Brilliant. That was great. That was great. Take a chocolate. Thank you. That was very good. Now, that's a pretty full-on bit of the Bible. I mean, this is Peter, one of God's closest mates, one of the great disciples, and Jesus turned and looked at his disciples publicly and said, and rebukes Peter. And he actually refers, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." And that is pretty full on. And we're not going to dive into this chapter super heavily tonight. But it is good to have a look at, because as afterwards he says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So then my question to you youth is that, are we rebuking God's plan? Now, rebuking is a pretty strong word. Another word you can say is disapproval. And are we choosing to actively, unwillingly not to trust God's plan, but to do our own thing? Are we rebuking his plans he has for us? Or are we accepting this and saying, "God obviously knows better. I now have to go forth and do this"? And that makes me look at myself. I mean, when I was writing this, I was like, am I doing this? Am I rebuking God's plans? Am I choosing to walk away and to not trust in his plan? And I want to share a little bit of my testimony about that. I've got many things I can say where I have chosen to ignore God and life has just turned upside down on me. It's a very real thing. But a few years back, at the time, I had a few struggles, and I actually chose to completely turn away from God. I actively told God that I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to have a crack by myself, and we'll see how we go. And that was a very rough stage for me. That was a stage where I started drinking a lot. I loved going to Bush Doofs. If you guys know what Bush Doof is, it's pretty much a club in the bush. Like, it sounds cool, but it's not. It's just a whole lot of people who are heavily intoxicated, doing illegal things in their cars and just being stupid. And that's what I chose to do. That was the life I chose because I thought it was the complete opposite of what a Christian is doing. And that active choice ended up nearly destroying me. It was at the end, I had no friends, really. I had one mate, but really no true friends that really knew me. I was broke because I was spending all my money going to these parties and drinking, so I had nothing in my bank account, and most importantly, I felt extremely alone. As I said, I had no friends, but then again, I had no God either, so there was just this empty hole in my heart which just continued to grow and to grow and to grow. And it actually took quite a gnarly night where I was out in my car and I was giving up, and I really just hated life. And there was just slight little bit of a whisper where God just says, actually, he said, "Have another crack." So I sat there and I was driving, listening to some terrible music. I won't go into music. I would love to go into music, but watch what you listen to, guys. But I was listening to terrible music, and I just remember turning that off and just going, you know what, I'm actually going to give this a proper crack this time. I'm not just going to be a Christian because my parents are Christian, or I'm not just going to be a Christian because I was raised in church, but I'm going to be a Christian because I'm choosing to be a Christian. And that was the point where I decided to have a crack. And that was difficult. I had to come out of that. I had to obviously get sober again. So that means I had to stop drinking. I had to change my life. I had to keep going to church. And I now have amazing friends that are just God-based. And we have like a bit of a group together. And I couldn't thank God enough. I have an amazing girlfriend who's Christian. It's just been an awesome support. All these things that that Lord has just given me because I've had a crack. But sometimes we can feel like that the things that are ahead of us are too much, and that I can't do this. And for me, I felt like that. I felt like I couldn't get out of the slump I was in. But I have a verse here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. If we can have that up on the screen, please. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Now, there's three key points I want to take out of that. And the first point is, no temptation has overtaken you. And that was the point that I first had to accept, that I wasn't too far gone, that temptation wasn't too much, that temptation wasn't who I was. But then the next step I had to realize is that, and that's the point, second point he makes, he said, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. And I had to also understand that the temptations and the struggles you guys are facing are not more than you can bear. The Lord doesn't let you take more than what you can bear. And that is important. That is a good thing that the Lord blesses us with. So anything you're facing now, you can overcome. It's in the scripture. It's biblical. And everything in this is truth. So that means the thing you're facing isn't too big for you. And then the last bit is, it said, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. There is always a way out. There is all, and as that song in the valleys, as it says, we sung before, there is always a way out of the valley, and there is always a way out over that mountain to get to the peak. It's never just, this is my life, this is who I am, this is just what's going to happen now. There's always a way out with the Lord. And that takes me to my third point. And my third point is, what gear did you bring? And for me, I do love a good hike. I'm terrible, I'm very slow, but I do love a good hike. But I especially love a good hike when I have the right gear. There is nothing worse than going on a hike with rubbish gear. You want to be prepared, you want to be comfy, you want to be looking good as well, I'd say, and hiking gear looks sweet. But part of having the right, I sound old saying that, don't I? Hiking gear is cool, but it is, guys, you'll understand when you're older. But part of having the right gear is you also need a plan for the hike you're going on. Is the hike going to be hot or cold? Is it going to be super rocky or smooth? Is it going to be steep or flat, or are you doing it during the day or the night? Like, you're not going to wear your thermals on a 40-degree day and bring a head torch. I mean, that's just wrong planning, and that hike is honestly going to suck. But I have a few things I want to get over there, and let's say, I'll go walk over there as I say this. Now, can you guys picture, as I hobble over, may I say, not really walk, we've got an 8-hour hike ahead of us, okay? It's during the day. Let me pick this up. It's during the day, and I want you guys to try and help me decide what I'm going to wear and bring. So let me get this stuff out for me. Bear with me. So these are Crocs. Put those there. That's a Camelback bag. And then we have the coolest shoes ever. Hiking boots. All right. And that's a tote bag. Now, the shoes. We've got an 8-hour hike. What shoes are we wearing? Are we wearing the super fashionable? They are incredible Crocs. Like, Crocs are amazing. And they're the best looking shoe, in my opinion, ever. As, again, my girlfriend hates. But are we wearing the Crocs? Or are we taking those Keen Gore-Tex, waterproof, breathable, really good looking, incredible shoes? What are we wearing? The hiking boots or the Crocs? Now, is this a serious answer? Are they actually taking Crocs? So I feel like your feet, the shoes are waterproof though. They're Gore-Tex, mate. Fancy. Fancy. But I'm going to kind of overrule this. We're taking the hiking boots, all right? The Crocs are going to be a terrible idea for 8 hours of hiking over all terrain. Now, the next question is, are we taking the tote bag? Like, the tote bag's pretty fashionable, and it is also from General Pants Co., which means you got money. So a bit of a flex as well, am I right? I mean, $70 for a T-shirt, bit ridiculous, but it's a cool tote bag. Or are we taking the five-pocket Camelback with a nice waist strap and a 3-litre water capacity? What are we taking, the tote bag or the Camelback? Correct answer? What was the correct answer? The Camelback, yes, the Camelback. We're definitely taking the Camelback, am I right? Because we can't take all the gear we need in a tote bag. Because we're responsible hikers. We take a med kit, we take a snake kit, we take water, we take food, and we take a torch in case the hike goes bad. But it is important to know and to plan and to bring the right gear on a hike. You can't just rock up to a hike not wearing the right clothes. Now, I did know someone who did this. Josh and Rowan did this in New Zealand, or was it Tasmania? We're Tasmania. And the photo's sweet, but they won't say it, but they were definitely in pain. Like Converse, massive hike, not a good mix. Or they're just amazing athletes. I can't decide yet. Probably the second. But when you're on a hike, you want to have the good gear. But the problem with facing mountains that we have to face in life is that you can't really plan for them. You don't really know the challenges you're going to be facing. So it's important that we have always got the right gear on, that we're always walking in the right gear. And I would wear my hiking boots every day if I could. Like, they are sick. Super comfy. They look sweet. I'm an old guy, but that's okay. Now, the Lord has given us all the gear we need, right? He's given it to us. But are we going to put it on? And the first bit of gear I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say that's our backpack, because the Holy Spirit is everything we might need. And in John 16, verse 13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Now, that's pretty helpful, if I do say. That is pretty helpful. Like, someone who actually tells you what's coming, and that will help you through that and guide you. That's kind of like, you know, you're hacking the game a bit, you know. But it is important that we pack the Holy Spirit. And I think I have another verse there, John 14, verse 26. But it says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you." And then it says again in Romans 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep of words." And the Holy Spirit is our backpack because it pretty much gives us everything we might need on the hike. The Spirit is our med kit. It's our spare food. It's our water. It's our lifeline. Because when you're hiking, everything on your back, your backpack is your lifeline. Because that's your life. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for us. The Holy Spirit is our helper and will guide us. Now, I've always wanted to do this, so I'm going to take a sip of this water up here. And I'm super excited. That weirdly tastes better, and I feel more holy. That is some pretty good water. Anyway, now, the next part of the gear we need to bring is the Holy Bible, the Word. And this I'm going to represent as our shoes. And it says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for all training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work." The Bible is another cheat code. It's got everything in here that we need to know about living a Christian life and being a Christian. So when we face that mountain, if we just read this book, it will give us the answers of how to overcome that mountain. I mean, there are so many amazing places in this book that just, it's actually unbelievable how, like, you read it when you're going through a time and the Lord takes you to that bit in the Bible and you go, that is literally the way out of this. Like, that's so simple. But all we have to do is just open this book and choose to read it. And another thing I just want to add as well is that we need to pack the armor of God. The armor of God is another amazing thing that we are commanded to wear. And I have a bit of a quiz as well. Does anyone know the armor of God pieces, like all of them? If you do, raise your hand and you could win 2 chocolates. But there was a nod and a hand. Come on up. You have to come up. No, she's saying no, doesn't want the chocolates. Anyone else? Eli? Yep, come on. Oh, yes, Eli, woo! Says his friends. Okay, take the mic.
Shut up. The breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the spirit. The shoes with the readiness of the... I forgot the other part of that. The gospel of peace. That's not one, what? Yeah, that's all I know.
That's all right. That was pretty good. You know what? Yeah, here. Have one. And, wait, no. Here's another one. He's walking away. Does he not want the second chocolate? That's great. No, Elijah. But, yes, we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the spirit. And each one of those we could go into, but we actually don't have time tonight, but we could go into each one of those and talk about each one of those and what those things do. But if we wear that whole armor of God, yes, we are hiking the mountain, but we are also protected from anything the mountain might throw at us, anything that might be coming down. As in the Lord of the Rings, it could be an ogre, it could be a weird tree, a live tree, but we are protected because we have the armor of God. Now, for my fourth and final point, if you guys are taking notes, is who are you climbing with? And I feel like that title is pretty self-explanatory, but who are the people you are choosing to walk your life with? Who are the people you're choosing to climb this uphill battle with? And I think it's very important that you actively are choosing Christian friends and godly people to be in your life. If it's a mentor, if it's your friend group, if it's the people you hang out with the most, the people that you choose to hang out with, not like the people you have to hang out with. Like for me, I have to hang out with my work colleagues, but I am definitely not hanging out with them after work. Like some of them are really mean people. But I actively choose Christian friends. And that is such an important thing, that when you surround yourself with Christian friends and Christian people, you're not being dragged down by worldly things. You actually be dragged up. And some of you might know this, and I like this thing that Nick Devo says. I think it's on relationships, he says it. But if someone's up on a chair and someone's down here, it's a lot easier for the person on the ground to pull the person on the chair down than the person on the chair to pull up. Kind of how gravity works, right? And that is the same with friends, with relationships, with the people we choose to be around. Now, I've got a few verses I want to read out with this because the Lord actually says a lot about this. And it says in Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. And it also says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I just want to pause at that one quickly. That one's pretty self-explanatory, but I think it's important that we stop and actually acknowledge what that is saying. That even if we are doing everything right as a Christian, we're going to church, we're reading our Bible, we're listening to worship music, but if you are hanging out with evil company and non-Christians, that will corrupt your good habits. And I'm not saying here that you just don't actively talk to non-Christians. Like, that is not what I'm saying at all. And it's important that we do actually talk to non-Christians to bring them to Christ, as we are asked to as well. But what I'm saying is that you have to choose the people closest to you, your close friends. Like my best mate is a Christian. He's a great man. We have very similar values. My girlfriend is the same. Christian, great person, similar values. These are the things you need to choose for your close-knit group. Your group needs to be filled with Christians and fellow believers that are actively walking in the decision to follow Christ. Also says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can you keep warm alone? Although one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And there's a few parts in that, and that pretty much pictures that we also do not want to be doing this alone. We need friends. We need people that can help us up. If we're climbing up this mountain and we fall and stumble, we need people to help us get back up. And I have an example of this. I was out hiking once with my father. I just brought these new hiking boots. They were sweet. They were Adidas. They were all black, Gore-Tex. But they were low, they were like below my ankle. And I was like, nah, Dad, they look cool. They're sweet. Below the ankle's fine. It's sweet. I rolled my ankle really bad that hike, first time wearing these shoes. And the only way I could get down was A, humbling myself and putting on my dad's high top hiking boots, but also he helped me down the mountain. And that's the same in life and in Christian and our walk with faith, that we need to have people that can help us and to give us the things that we need to get down or to get up that mountain. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Again, iron sharpens iron. Christians sharpen Christians. Not non-Christians sharpen Christians. Christians sharpen Christians. And then Galatians 6, verse 2, where it says, bear another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And as friends, we can't just be expected to be always helped, but we need to help our friends. We need to take that step and say, hey, man, can I give you a hand? Hey, man, I think you're stuffing up there. What's going on? Be active. Be a friend that your other friend can rely on so then it can go both ways. It's a two-way street, and that's what we have to do. So as I wrap up, a bit of a conclusion. I've kind of written this actually like a school essay, which is pretty weird. But in conclusion, to wrap up this message, I just want to reassure that, yes, we will face mountains, and yes, there'll be really hard times in life, but it will. Now that we have the all-powerful Lord on our side, these mountains aren't as big as they were. They are smaller. They are easier to climb. There's little hidden paths that the Lord will take us up that lead to better views or lead to cooler view, lead to the peak faster. And that's perfect. But I do want to just say one verse at the end, and I haven't actually got this up on the slide. But it's one of my favorite verses. And it's 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. And this verse says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And the spirit that God gives us is a power, love, and self-discipline. So any hill that we are facing, we are not given the spirit of fear and timidness and, oh, this is too big. But God has given us the power to overcome that mountain and to get over it. And to get over it with extra things in our backpack. To get over it with more than what we ended up starting it with. And there's always a lesson, and that is the extra bit you get. But we do have to have a crack, as I said, having a crack and bringing the right gear and walking with the right people is a necessary thing to overcome these challenges that we have to face. And I just want to, if we got time, I don't know how much time we have, Matt. I think you've got 3 minutes, that's not long. But I'm just going to get the keys to play, which you're already doing. Great job. Awesome stuff. I just want you guys to to sit in silence. If you need to talk to a leader, please talk to a leader. If you need to talk to a friend, talk to a friend as we are in fellowship together. But just reflect on the mountains and the battles that you're facing at the moment. And just reflect that whatever battle you're facing isn't too hard. You can overcome it. And with the things that I've said tonight about having a crack, bringing the right gear, and walking with the right people, those hills are always achievable. So let's just sit in silence. If you want to chat to your friends or a leader, please do. And just pray and ask God to be with you as you face these battles. As you